Amen. It is all about him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to come here and be together as a family this morning, Lord, to be able to worship you through our mind, through our body, through our emotions and our spiritual lives, Lord. We come to you and we acknowledge that everything we do today, everything we do this morning, everything that happens in this place is all about you, Lord. So we thank you for giving us that opportunity. In your name we pray, amen. Good morning, everybody. It is great to see you guys this morning. I love to be able to come here every week and to be able to worship and be able to just have a great time. We've got some coffee. Listen, if you are tired and your coffee cup is empty, you might want to refill it. Just putting that out there for you. Feel free to grab yourself a cup of coffee. Our kids are going back to their class where their teachers have spent time to really study and prepare a way for the kids to understand Scripture. And that's such a huge bonus that we have. Listen, if you're a parent and one of your kids went back there, thank your teachers. Thank them for what they do, for giving their time to be able to teach our kids. And if you're not a parent, thank somebody. Just thank somebody for what they do around here, because you people do amazing things every week, and I am floored that I get the opportunity to come up here and be with you guys throughout that time. So just thank somebody for whatever it is that they're doing, because I promise they're probably doing something. Now, it may not be good, but they're doing something. So we really want to be appreciative of everybody. And those of you that are joining us online, thank you for joining us online. We love the fact that we have the ability to have an extended spiritual family this morning. So we thank you for being there. And I just have to say, I am encouraged and I am floored that every week I get to come up here and I get to talk about the Word of God with my spiritual family. And it is just such an amazing thing that we get to have this family reunion every single week. And so thank you guys for coming out and for being a part of my spiritual family. Amen? Amen. Fantastic. Listen, over the course of the last few weeks, we've been in this series called Abram's Journey, okay? And so far we've seen that God has actually made some pretty important promises to Abram. He's done some pretty amazing thing. Actually, right in the beginning, we saw that God promised Abram land by going to the place that God would show him. He wasn't like, hey, Abram, I want you to go to Arkansas. That's yours. It was, hey, Abram, go somewhere and I'll tell you when to stop. Like, that was pretty amazing. And then God promised Abram descendants by telling Abram that his descendants would be as numerous as the dust of the earth. Like, that's a lot of descendants, okay? And that's just amazing. And then he continued by saying he promised Abram blessings. And not just that God was going to bless Abram, he extended it to other people. And he said, I'm going to bless the people that bless you, but I'm also going to curse the people that curse you, right? And we saw some of that as Abram left Egypt, as the Egyptians had an issue. It was Abram's fault, but still, they intended harm, and it wasn't good for them. And these are some pretty amazing promises being made to a 75-year-old man with no kids. Like, these are pretty intense promises. Now, this morning, as we gather in this amazing facility, in this fantastic church, this beautiful church, I'm reminded of the promises of God that have brought us to this point. Some of you have been around here for longer than 5 years. Some of you have been around here for 20, 30 years, and you've seen all of the promises of God that has brought us to this point today. Some of you, maybe you're newer and you've only been around a little bit, and you are getting to look around and see the lived promises of God that has brought us to this point. Some of you guys can remember the harder times of LRBC, right? Like, I've heard stories. I've heard this story a billion times, and it's an amazing story. They're sitting around a table. This is probably the deacons. They're sitting around a table saying, okay, which bill do we pay? Because we can't pay all of them. And right about that time, Steve walks in with a check for, or somebody, I think it was Steve, walks in with a check for like $7,500 or something like that. And they were like, cool, we can pay all of our bills. And that's just one example of how God has promised to not forget LRBC and to be a part of what's happening here at LRBC. And so you guys can remember that, and you guys can see that God has not forgotten you, right? And for everybody else, you can look around and you can just see this amazing spiritual family that we get to be a part of, that we all get to be a part of. And that's just an encouraging thing, I think, as we think about the promises of God that have brought you in your life to this point, and the promises of God that have brought us as a church family to this point. Now, this morning, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember the intensity that Abram has just experienced. Remember last week, we talked about Abram the watcher, Abram the warrior, and Abram the worshiper, right? So I want you to think about this intensity that Abram has just experienced. He was concerned about his brother, his spiritual brother Lot. It was actually his nephew, but his spiritual brother Lot and his family. Abram was so concerned that he took his safety as a backseat to the safety of Lot and his family, right? And he went out and he went into battle to get everyone and everything that was taken. And it was an amazing story. Listen, if you have not heard that, go back and watch last week's, because, man, Abram is a beast. Let's just say that, okay? But after he did this, think about this. This was an intense time in Abram's life, right? Now, think about for a moment that intense time in your life, right? That time that maybe you just worked 100 hours and you're just exhausted, right? And or that time that you just lost a loved one and you're emotionally spent, right? You have nothing left. Or maybe the construction project of a church. Some of you know what I'm talking about, and you're just done. There have been, just to point this out, if we ever have to rebuild this church for whatever reason, there's multiple people that said that they're leaving the church. It was so intense. So don't let anything happen to this church, okay? Anyway, think about that intensity that you experienced at that time. Think about how exhausted you were at that time, right? And maybe you let your guard down a little bit. Felt a bit exhausted emotionally, but also exhausted spiritually, right? Like you literally had nothing. There's times that even the most dedicated Christians, and you guys know what I'm talking about, but times that the most dedicated, like you would look at somebody and you would say, well, that person would never experience darkness in their life. That person would never experience depression in their life. They seem so happy. They seem so put together. They seem so like God is just doing things in their life. They would never experience the sad, the spent, the exhaustion that comes with this. Like you would look at some people and you would say that, but I'm telling you, we all have been there, right? Where we're done. We feel like we're in the dark and we wonder, why is God so far? Like, this is what we feel. Why is God so far away? Like, God, please fix this. Please help this. And it's not happening. And so we're crying out, right? And so think about that time when you were in that place, and imagine what Abram is more than likely experiencing after this amazing feat that he just did, right? As he went into battle. Sometimes we just feel in the dark. There was in 1899, there was something called the Boxer Rebellion. This happened in China. And there was some oppression. And so the Boxer Rebellion started in 1899 to 1901, I think. Okay, so it's like 3 years-ish. Anyway, There's a mission that was started by a guy named Hudson Taylor. You may have heard of that name before. He kind of pioneered the modern missions, especially missions in China. He so believed in the missions in China that he moved to China like as a young man and lived there until he passed, right? So that's how focused he was on the gospel in China. Well, he founded this thing called the China Inland Mission. And during the Boxer Rebellion, the China Inland Mission, that's a hard word for me to say for some reason. Anyway, there was a lot of suffering during that time. There was a lot going, and so, you know, physically, there's a lot going on because you've got this rebellion, right? But also spiritually and emotionally, and here's what Hudson Taylor said. This is amazing, and I think it can speak to every single one of us. If you hear nothing else today, listen to what Hudson Taylor said, okay? He said this to a friend. I cannot read. I cannot think. I cannot even pray. But I can trust. I cannot read. I cannot think. I can't even pray. But I can trust. Listen, I know that there have been times in your life, because there's been times in my life. I can remember, I don't remember the specific details, but there was one time, there's been multiple times, frankly, when I'm just in that dark place, and Bethany will say, let's pray, and I'm like, I can't. You pray, awesome, I would appreciate it if you prayed, but I can't. I don't have it in me. I don't have the words. I don't have the anything. And so imagine that moment. And then think about Hudson Taylor. I can't read. I just can't do it. I can't speak. I don't have words. I can't even pray, but I can trust. Sometimes that's all we have, right? Sometimes that's that. So if you hear nothing else, hear that. Sometimes all I can do is trust. This was this emotionally dark time that God eventually brought the light in their life. Well, the same thing is true for Abram this morning. Okay, the exact same thing. Abram has just undergone this enormous physical exertion, and he's exhausted. And I know you've been there, right? I know for a fact, you guys, you're wiped out. And while we don't know exactly what Abram is feeling right now, we can get a glimpse of what he's feeling as we look at the passage that we're going to look at this morning. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis, we're going to go through this whole chapter, Genesis chapter 15. We're going to start off, though, with just verses 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you've given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you're able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. So in this chapter, what we're going to see is this amazing gift from the Lord given to Abram, but also given to us, okay? And we're going to look at that in a little bit. So today, specifically, we're going to read about Abram's vision from the Lord. Abram's vision from the Lord. Actually, the safety of Abram is incredibly important to God, right? In the previous chapter, we saw it play out as Abram went into battle, right? But the safety of Abram is actually important. And we saw God protect him physically. And today we're going to see how God protects Abram emotionally. You see, people of faith are people of emotions, right? We just are. People of faith are people of emotions, and we cannot overlook the emotional aspect of our lives. We can't do that. That's why we offer free biblical counseling here at the church, to be able to talk about the emotional state and what we're going through, because a healthier emotional state will always lead to a healthier spiritual state. You see, we're made in the image of God, and that includes our emotions, right? It includes our feelings. Now, we can't trust our feelings, right? You might hear me say something frequently like, feelings are not facts. You can't trust your feelings. And it's unwise to allow our emotions to control us, right? We cannot be like just do whatever I feel like doing in that particular moment. That's not wise. But it's equally unwise to ignore or suppress our emotions, right? Now, men, women, close your ears. You don't need to hear this part. Men, this really applies to us, right? Because generally, and maybe you are the exception, but generally, as men, we like to stuff it down, hide it under the bed, shove it in the closet, whatever we have to do to not think about the emotional whatevers. But God is an emotional being, and he created us with emotion. And so it's not wise for us to ignore what God has given us. And we see all over Scripture, we see men that allowed their emotions to flow to the Lord. Okay, they didn't like go off on a screaming tangent, yelling at their wife or kids or coworker or person at the grocery store or whatever. They allowed their emotions to flow to the Lord. You can read through the Psalms, right? And you can look at David and how he, and by the way, in case you're not aware of this, David is a man's man. Like, David took down the guy that the entire nation of Israel's army was scared of. David went out and he was like, I got a slingshot. I can take this dude down. All right. David is a man, but he allowed his emotions to flow to the Lord and let God know exactly how he felt at any given time, right? Jesus did the same thing. Jesus allowed his emotions to be heard and even seen, right? We see Jesus's emotions. So it's important to pay attention to that. It's important to acknowledge that that exists. What I love here in this passage, though, is how God greeted Abram, right? And when God started this conversation with Abram, did you notice that God called Abram by name? God called Abram by name. He said, Abram. He didn't simply say, hey, you. He didn't just start talking. He acknowledged Abram's name in order to remind Abram how important he was, right? Of course, that leads to a whole conversation between Abram and God. And Abram starts to actually complain to God here. Now, I want to point out something that's really, actually really important. You see, and this is important for us to acknowledge, for us to know, Abram complained to God. To be very clear, Abram didn't like around the corner, like mumble under his breath. He may have done that. You know, we just don't see that part in Scripture. But Abram voiced his complaints to God. Now, if you're me, you immediately assume this is not a good thing. Like, Abram's about to get struck by lightning because he's complaining to God. And he's complaining about what God said. So if you're me, you're like, okay, we're going to step away from Abram. Because I can remember as a kid, if I back-talked my mom or dad and complained about something that they just said, I would very swiftly get the back of their hands, mom or dad, didn't matter, across my face. And I very quickly knew, you don't complain to those in authority over you, right? Like, that's just not a good idea. And here we have Abram complaining to God. God just told Abram, God acknowledged him. He said, I'm here for you, Abram. And he just told Abram that he's going to be his shield and his reward. Think about that for a second. God is Abram's shield. Think about that. What it means to have a shield. Like nothing is going to get to Abram. Nothing is going to get through God, except maybe what God wants to get through, right? If God is literally a shield, nothing is getting through there. So right off the bat, we see that. And then he goes on to tell Abram about this reward. Very more specifically, God will reward Abram greatly. God will reward Abram greatly. So listen, after that, after God has told him that, after he says, hey, Abram, I'm your shield and I'm going to reward you for your faithfulness. Right after that, Abram complains. And then God reassures him again that he is in fact sovereign, meaning overseeing, in control of, master power over, right? God is in fact sovereign over all that happens. But there's something more I want to bring out here briefly. And I'm going to be honest here. This is a topic. This is a truth in Scripture that I'm still studying and I'm trying to learn it. Okay, so I'm just being honest about that up front. I don't have this all figured out. Other people are way smarter than me about this, but I'm trying to learn it. From a biblical perspective, what we see here is Abram lamenting to God. Abram lamenting to God. A definition of lament, because that's a $5 word. Maybe it's a $4.50 word. I don't know. But Abram lamented to God. Lament is a prayer expressing sorrow, pain, or confusion. Lamenting is a prayer expressing sorrow. I'm so sorry. Pain. This hurts so much. Or confusion. God, what are you doing? That's what a lament is. So here we have Abram expressing confusion to God about how he doesn't have any kids. Look, God, you said I was going to have kids. I don't have any kids. I'm going to have to give everything I have. Everything you gave me, I'm going to have to give to this other guy who's not even like my blood. He's part of my household. He's part of my people. He's part of my spiritual family. But he's not my blood. I'm going to have to give all my stuff to him. Like, God, you said you were going to give me, but you haven't given me. I don't have. And so we see that then God responded to that by reminding Abram what he's already told him. Abram, chill out, dude. Like, go sit on the couch and get a bag of chips or have a Snickers bar or something like that. Like, relax. We have this same idea of Abram responding to God's promises as Abram complains, as Abram stresses out. And God's like, okay, Abram, dude, chill out. Look, take a step outside. Just get some fresh air. Fresh air is always good unless it's Illinois and it's cold. Most of the time, though, fresh air is good. So go outside, take some fresh air, and look up at the stars. Do you see the stars? Do you see there's more than one star up in the sky? Why don't you try to count those stars? Well, I don't think you can. That's how many kids you're going to have. Like, that is your descendants. If you can count the stars, that's how many people are going to be in your family. Just chill out. And here's what's amazing. As a result of that, Abram believed the Lord. Abram believed the Lord. Like, he just needed to be reminded of what God actually said. He just needed a reminder, and so he did, and Abram believed the Lord. Now, I want you to pay attention to something, because the passage says that Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. The Lord counted it as righteousness. It does not say Abram performed certain actions and then the Lord counted it as righteousness. It doesn't say Abram did so many good things and then he accounted it to him as righteousness. It doesn't say Abram gave X amount of dollars to the church, to the temple. Abram attended church so many times a month. It doesn't say any of that. It just says Abram believed the Lord. Now, this is an active belief. This isn't just a mental, okay, God, check, I believe you. Good. No, this is an active belief, meaning Abram worshiped the Lord. Part of Abram believing the Lord was Abram worshiping the Lord and Abram trusting the Lord. So let that sink in for a minute. Let that kind of simmer in your brain that believing the Lord meant trusting the Lord. Just let it sit there. And let's finish up this chapter in chapter 15, starting in verse 7. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? Like, okay, God just gave him a Snickers bar. He just told him to chill out, and now here Abram is again. But how do I know? Prove it, God. How do I know? How am I to know that I shall possess it? And he said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all of these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And behold, a dreadful and great darkness fell on him. Abram's a bit terrified, okay? Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be the sojourners in a land that is not there, and they will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the Lord had gone down and it was dark, when the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgasites, and the Jebusites. That's a lot of sites going on there. There's a lot of people going on there, right? But we have Abram continuing to question God in the beginning of this. We have Abram continuing to question God, and then we're able to see God's covenant promise. And this is really interesting because through this we see some incredibly important things. We see this event that is pointing to something so much greater than what we see here in this passage. It's pointing to something else. So let's take a look at what's going on. Right. First of all, we have God reminding Abram about his promises. Right. God promised Abram land. He promised Abram descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. And he promised Abram blessing, going so far as to tell him that the people that enslave his descendants will be judged. Reminding Abram that God said those who bless Abram will be blessed. Those who curse Abram will be cursed, and that they will leave this oppression. They will leave this subjugation with great wealth. They will be blessed. So we have God reminding him, first of all, about these three promises that he's already made. These three incredibly important promises. And then we have God responding to Abram's questions about how am I supposed to know? Like, prove it, God. How do I know that you're actually telling me the truth, right? And can you just, for a moment, can you just imagine the nerve of this guy? Like, dude, you are talking to the God that created everything, that you've already seen some amazing things from his hands, and now you're saying, prove it? Like, I don't know, maybe I do the same thing sometimes. I don't know, maybe you do too. But God answers his question in a pretty amazing and frankly a kind of a scary way. You see, God tells Abram to go and retrieve certain animals that are typically used for sacrifices and for various rituals, okay? And God tells Abram to cut these animals in half, right? And to create a blood path, a blood path. Now, we're going to talk about that in a second here because it's pretty intense. But Abram does as he's told, and he keeps the wild birds. I mean, just imagine, you got dead animals, you got the vultures, you got everything trying to come down and have dinner. So Abram had his job cut out for him, right? And he's swatting these wild birds away, and then he has these animals, and the birds aren't cut in half. They're too small to cut in half. Typically what they would do with the birds, this is just bonus information for you, they would rip the wings off of the birds. That's how they would spill the birds' blood. From our perspective, weird stuff. But anyway, they were separated. The birds were separated on each side of the blood path. And it's assumed, this is what some people that are way smarter than me kind of figure out, that there's one bird on each side of this blood path, okay? So I was supposed to have a picture. I'm sorry, I forgot to put it in there. But if you can imagine, the animals that are cut in half are this section and this section, right? And so you guys are bloody, sorry. And then you've got in the center here, you've got all the blood kind of pouring. I know this is gross, but you got blood kind of pouring out. And then you got a bird here and you got a bird over there. That's kind of what scholars that are way smarter than me figure out. So anyway, typically what would happen, what did happen is later that evening, Abram got pretty nervous, right? Abram got pretty, a deep sleep and a terrifying darkness came over him, right? He's scared as these animals are split in half. And I'll be honest, I think I would be pretty scared too. Like, if you're in that position, I think everyone, unless you might need some help if that would not scare you. Anyway, later that evening, we see God moving. God moved as a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch between these animals, saying that parts of his promises to Abram, both before, he's taking both sides of this promise, and he's promised, as he walks through this blood path, the carcass, that's the promise. Now, you read that, I read that, and you're like, what? And I can't tell you the number of times I've read this scripture in the past, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, that's weird. I don't understand. I thought God was encouraging, and now he's like splitting animals in half in a blood path, and like, this is hard. It's confusing, right? And so at some point, I decided to look into this a little bit more and try to understand what was actually happening. Okay, because that's important. As we read scripture, if there's something we don't understand, we need to remember the scripture was not written by somebody in 2022, right? So they have a whole cultural context that's going on, and we need to understand the context that is being written here, okay? And so in that context, there was something going on. In the ancient Near East, that's what it's called, the time and the location, ancient Near East, they practiced something called a custom of cutting a covenant. It was the custom of cutting a covenant, or in today's vernacular, we would say cut a deal, right? We're just going to cut a deal where they cut a covenant. And in this custom, you would have two or more parties, okay? And they would bring the appropriate animals to this location, to this shared location, and they would split these animals in half. They would cut these animals in half, and they would put the animals on each side, and they would allow the blood of these animals to pass through together. I don't know why they did this, by the way, but this was the custom of the time. This is what they did. And so they would allow the blood to pass through the center, and then each party, each person that was part of this covenant, part of this deal, each party walks through the blood path. They just walk right through it, and they would start with the greater of the parties. Okay, so say for example, you are going to have a deal with your boss. Well, your boss is the one in authority, right? So your boss would go first. So the greater, the one in more authority, would go first, followed by the other people, right? And as they did that, here's what's happening. The point of this ritual is to say that each party is agreeing that they should be as the animals if they break the covenant. That if I break my part of the deal, I should be cut in half and my blood spilled. This is no pinky promise situation. This is so serious that if I break my part of the deal, my blood should be spilt. Like, that's an intense agreement that they would make. Okay, this was not like, hey, I promise I'm going to make it to dinner next week. No, this is like a real situation that's going on here, right? They're saying that their blood should be spilt as they die. Now, here is where it gets really interesting. It's already interesting. It's already terrifying. But Abram knows, frankly. Abram understands the custom. He understands what's going on. He understands what he's doing, that he just split these animals in half. He understands, okay, God and I are about to cut a covenant. And at the same time, he knows he cannot keep his side of any covenant to God. I mean, think he already, at the first sign of potential danger, he lied about his sister being, or his wife being his sister, and he made that. So he knows he's going to fail his side. So he's like, I am terrified to make this covenant with God because I'm going to fail, and then he's going to slice me in half. Like, that's scary, okay? And so, but here's what happens. As Abram goes to sleep, God passes through the blood path as the greater of the parties here, right? God passes at the smoking fire pot. God passes through. However, then there's something even more amazing that happens. Instead of waking up Abram and saying, okay, buddy, it's your turn now, God passes through again as a flaming torch this time. God passes through twice. God passes through for both parties, okay? And we see this image that's associated with God throughout Scripture, the smoke and the fire. And God not only walked his path, but he walked Abram's path. Basically, here's what God said. God said, my blood will be spilt if either party, if you fail your side of the covenant, or if I fail my side of the covenant, my blood should be spilt. That's intense. That's interesting. It's very interesting. Because this is an action that we see fulfilled as Jesus' blood is spilt on Calvary. Way back in Genesis, God is saying, if you don't keep up your part of the deal, I will die. My blood will be, this is before anybody is thinking about a Messiah coming one day. And God is saying, my blood will be spilt if you mess up. as he walks through that path. Abram just didn't realize we have a great gift being on this side of history, right? Because Abram doesn't understand the Jesus connection, right? But we, on this side of the resurrection, we can look back and we can say, wow, that is amazing. Way back then, I understand that we can see Christ sacrifice through the Old Testament. This is really cool. You guys should know this if you don't know this. Everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus. So now you have a job. See if you can find Jesus in the Old Testament. See if, as you're reading scripture, we're in Deuteronomy. I haven't read today yet, but as a church, we're in Deuteronomy. See if you can find Jesus as we continue to read through the Old Testament. See if you can see what's pointing to Jesus. But here's what that means. You and I can appreciate this gift so much more as we look back through the pages of history. That we can look back and understand more and more every day as I read the Old Testament and as I see how the events of the Old Testament are pointing me to Jesus. I can make these connections and I can appreciate more and more that this book, this is one story. One story. Frequently, I'll hear people talking about various TV series, or let's use the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and how back in, I think it was like 2008 was the first Iron Man, and then in like, I don't remember when Endgame came out, maybe 2020 or something like that, or whenever it was. And so we're all like, wow, this is amazing. Through all of these years, they connected everything. And we're like, this is some fantastic storytelling, right? This is like 1,500 years of authorship connected, and this is one story. One person at the top making it all fit together. One person is the author of this. One person is the editor of this. As many people participate and contribute to this. So we have the benefit, being on this side of history, of looking and seeing, wow, that is amazing. God promised in Genesis 15 that if I messed up, his blood would be spilt. And then his blood was spilt. Like, wow. Wow. We see it happen. All of those struggles that you're experiencing in your life, all of those hardships that you are and have experienced in your life, in the past, all of those things are bringing you to this point today. Everything that has happened in your past is bringing you to today. Just like everything in the Old Testament is pointing us to Jesus, everything in your life, every hardship, every experience, every joy is bringing you to the place that you are today. The question becomes, what are you going to do about it? And that's a question only you can answer, right? What are you going to do about it? In other words, does seeing God's faithfulness through Scripture encourage you to lean on his faithfulness today? Or do you think you can do better? I mean, that's an honest question, right? I think we all have to answer that question. As I see God's faithfulness, do I feel like I can trust it, or do I feel like I can do better? Does seeing God's plan for sacrifice, way back in Genesis, does seeing God's plan for sacrifice cause you to desire a deeper relationship with him? Or do you feel like you're good enough? Like, I'm cool. I'm all right. Remember Abram? Abram tried doing things on his own, in his own way. And it took cursing God, cursing the Egyptians with plagues, for Abram to realize that God was, in fact, faithful. Remember that guy Cain? Way back, Cain in the beginning, Cain tried doing things his own way and murdered his brother. Lot tried living his life away from the promises of the Lord. And listen, some of you in this room today, some of you online, have experienced, or maybe you are experiencing in this moment, living your life away from the promises of the Lord. Here's what it took for Lot. It took Lot being taken hostage as a prisoner of war to wake him up, to make him see something. So what do you want to do today? Do you want to make the choice to actively believe? Remember in the very beginning, Abram believed and it was credited as righteousness. This was an active word, an active belief. Do you want to make the choice to actively believe God and seek to live a life pleasing to him? Or do you want to live your life for yourself? Listen, I don't care how long you've been a Christian. If you've been a Christian for 5 minutes or if you've been a Christian for 5 decades, it doesn't matter. We still have to make that choice. Today in my life, do I want to live a life where I'm seeking to be pleasing to the Lord, or do I want to live a life where I'm good on my own? I just want to do it my way, because God's way sometimes isn't as fun. Maybe God's way feels a little bit harder. You know, I can't cut corners. I can't, you know, cheat people. I have to be honorable in my life. Which way do I want to go? This morning, the band's going to come up, and I want to ask each and every person here, every single person here, to pray with me as we prepare our hearts for worship. Then as the band plays and the singers all sing and we all join together as we worship the Lord, I want to ask you to join in worshiping the Lord with your heart. I don't want you to just make words come out of your mouth. That's not worshiping the Lord. I want to invite you this morning to actively believe by worshiping the Lord with my voice, with your heart. Listen, this is important. You are not here. I just want to make sure everyone agrees with this, everyone understands. You are not here to worship your spouse. You are not here to worship your kids. You are not here to worship the songs that we sing or the people up here singing those songs. You are not here to worship this building, to worship anything else. You are here to worship the Lord. This morning, I want to ask you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with everything you have and lean not on your own knowledge. In other words, don't think you can do better than God. Don't think your way is better. Submit to the Lord. And I know this is a hard thing. And I wish, listen, I promise you, I wish that, because some of you guys have come to me and said, Billy, how do I submit? Like, how do I do it? Like, give me the formula. Give me the directions. I'll do the things. And I want to do it. I just don't know how. I wish I could say you have to A, B, C. But guys, this is your heart. This is actively believing with your heart to trust the Lord, to submit to the Lord, so that he, and only he, can make your path straight. Father God, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example that you've given us through Abram, Lord. God, you are a blessing in our lives. And I know that sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we get wrapped up in our own stuff, in our own whatever, and we forget that you are the one that we worship. That you are the one that all of this is about. That this isn't about me or my thoughts or my customs or my whatever. That I'm here to worship you. And so, Lord, first of all, I repent of that. Lord, I invite everyone here as we repent of making worship about us in some way, of making our worship, whether it's through song or through giving or through serving or whatever active worship we are participating in that moment, Lord, for making it about us and not about you, because it is all about you. Lord, you have promised us that you are faithful, and we see that promise played out in the pages of Scripture. And Lord, we frankly see that promise played out in our own lives. So Lord, if there's somebody here today, if there's somebody joining us online that's struggling with that promise, Lord, I ask that you would encourage their heart to reach out to you. Encourage their heart to be focused on you and not on themselves or their whatevers, just you. Lord, if there's those that are here today that are eagerly excited to continue worshiping you, Lord, I ask that you would encourage their hearts with joy. Allow them to see a glimpse of you throughout their day today, Lord, as they worship you through rest, as they worship you through work, as they worship you through whatever it is that they're doing today. Lord, I ask that you would allow them to see you and to experience your presence and your grace. And Lord, if there's some here today joining us online that are in a place of darkness, that are in a place of confusion, then Lord, I ask that you would give us the words to lament to you so that we can understand your heart a little bit more, so that we can focus on you, Lord, so that we can allow you to minister to our hearts in a way that we don't really even understand. God, you are so good. And as we see your goodness played out through the life of every single person here this morning, God, I just want to thank you. Lord, I ask that you would accept this worship this morning, our music, our voices, our hearts, as a pleasing aroma, and that you would be blessed by what we have for you this morning.